We are just that much closer to the NFL season. Training camp is basically here. Hall of Fame game, that's next week. You're listening to the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm your host, Chris Kostich. And it's just me today. No CJ today, but we do still have Adam backstage running the show for us. Shout out to Adam. And apologies real quick for the show coming out, or this episode coming out late. A lot of different schedule. scheduling going on here. Hear me out. Try to gather myself after that one. Shout out to Adam. Today's episode, we're going to be going through underrated and I was about to say overrated, but underrated fantasy quarterbacks and tight ends to look at for this season. But first, some quick NFL news. Tyrann Mathieu announces his retirement. That was probably the biggest news of today and probably just this week in general. Is a bit of a slower news cycle. But announces retirement, 12 seasons in the league, was just with the Saints, Super Bowl champion, all-pro safety. And of course, an amazing career over at LSU, just an amazing career in general. Shout out to him. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people will probably remember him for trash talking Tom Brady in the Super Bowl and then getting it shoved right back into his face, respectfully. Other than that, in other news, Kyren Williams going to be practicing, says emphatically he'll be practicing full go amid ongoing negotiations. One of a few notable contract talks that are going on. Another one, most notably, Terry McLaurin, Ian Rapoport, just came out earlier today. By the way, still recording on Tuesday night. It's currently 11:51. Adam and I. Yeah, I'm AI with the braids. Get that out of here. Jesus Christ. Can imagine that the majority of these memes are really from made by CJ. But Terry McLaurin, not present for conditioning tests, still seeking a new contract, verbatim from Ian Rapoport. And that's, you know, if you were listening to our episode last week, kind of the same ordeal. And if Terry McLaurin is a guy that's been there, right? He's been through the suck. He's been a guy that has gone through two name changes, Washington football team and then the Washington Commanders, terrible quarterbacks, of course, the ownership change. I feel like this is a guy that you need to do right by. Do something about it, Washington. You got to do something about it. Terry McLaurin expressed his frustration publicly last week and now stays away this week as the two sides still work on a new contract. Another tweet from Ian Rapoport. Other news, Panthers releasing veteran Josie Jewell, linebacker. So kind of interesting to see which defense or which team would like to add a veteran linebacker like him. He's not bad. He did very solid over in Denver. That could be a very solid pickup. Bucks place Tristan Wirfs and Chris Godwin on the PUP list to begin camp. Other PUP list news, Stephon Diggs, of course, tore his ACL last year. He's good to go. He's basically good to go. That's pretty much the overall consensus in New England right now. And if you've seen any of the offseason workouts he's been doing, he's been going 100% nonstop this entire offseason. So very excited to see him throughout training camp and, of course, week one once we get there. Back to Tyrann Mathieu real quick. Saints found their replacement for the Honey Badgers. They signed Julian Blackman, another safety, of course. Our last played for the Indianapolis Colts. Raiders also signing a handful of veterans, former Pro Bowl safety Jamal Adams and Philip Dorsett, Patriots legend, and Colts legend, Philip Dorsett, I should add. Matt Stafford got a back issue right now, but nothing going to be crazy about that. And of course, I think this was the biggest news of the last couple of days, the new uniforms. All the uniforms that are coming out, the Chargers just unveiled, they're all golds, all navy blues. The Bills just announced that they're going with the red helmet throwback to the 90s. They're going to be debuting that the last regular season game at Highmark Stadium. Long time coming. Josh Allen was kind of teasing it the last couple of years at some of the training camps, the in-stadium season ticket holder training camp practices. And finally, they're going to do it. Officially, of course, Sauce Gardner to his contract extension. And I think there was one other, the Bucks in there, away Crames Coles, but that was last week. And I think that's all the jersey talk that I can really think of at the moment. Other than that, let's get to business. Underrated, we're going to start with underrated fantasy tight ends coming into this season. So right off the bat, we're going to get into probably the most interesting situation, I would say, in terms of tight end. I would say it's in Chicago. Colson Loveland and Cole Kmet. Colson Loveland, of course, being the newest draft pick or first round draft pick for the Bears this season or this past draft. Goodness, you could tell how late it is. All right. Because my brain's kind of on empty at the moment, but it's going to be interesting, especially when you have Ben Johnson as your new head coach. Very good with two tight end set, just an offensive mastermind in general, right? So it's going to be interesting to see how really both of these tight ends are used, right? Because you got Cole Kmet, who's the veteran. You would think that he would be tight end one, but Colson Loveland, a lot of promise in this kid. So you could probably really make a case for both of them being tight end one. And according to Fantasy Pros right now, Colson Loveland is currently ranked higher in terms of tier, in terms of ranking. Right now they have Colson Loveland in tier 4, highest tight end in tier 4, by the way, at 16th. And Cole Kmet kind of in the middle of the pack of tier 5 of this ranking at 30. I would say both tight ends would be a very good pick, especially with, you know, this should set up to be a very good offense. But, and we'll see how Caleb Williams does in year 2. And a lot of people are expecting Caleb Williams to make that jump here in year 2 as well. Now that you have a head coach and a GM that are both under contract at the same time, both guys finally in the right mindset, basically. That's all you're looking for is just a sense of now I'm losing the term. Either way, you guys know what I'm trying to get at. It's a more stable situation. That's what I'm looking for. It's a more stable situation for the Bears at this point, because we talked about this before. In the past, it was always, you know, you have a coach that doesn't get the quarterback that they want, so they go and draft another guy, and then they fire the coach. Same thing with the GM. They end up having a guy that they don't want. It's just a whole mess. Now the Bears finally figured it out. A year too late, maybe? Potentially. But it's still year 2. Technically year 2 of Caleb Williams. So we'll see what happens. Another one that Adam and I had been talking about with Tyler Warren. And he's currently ranked in tier 3, kind of in that middle pack at number 12. But this is a guy that was supposed to be the highest ranked tight end coming out of this past draft class, ends up being the second tight end taken off the board. And it really kind of just depends on who's that quarterback, I guess, right? Because it's either Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones, and signs are kind of pointing to the fact that it could potentially be Daniel Jones at QB1. Either way, you have to expect Tyler Warren's going to be a high value target in this offense, right? So that's why we're thinking Tyler Warren as a pretty underrated guy and an another guy that really flies under the radar. Oh, speak of the devil, here's Adam Wright himself.
I couldn't stay away from it.
Good. It gets tiring talking to yourself sometimes. Well, technically, I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to the audience, but what are you? Okay. Jonnu Smith. You and I were talking about this before the show. Jonnu Smith, you know, he ended up having a bit of a bad light, and it was mainly because of his tenure in New England. It didn't, and you and I can attest to this as Pats fans, it did not go the way that we had hoped to go. We thought we were going to see Gronk and Aaron Hernandez 2.0, and obviously without the murder, and it was anything but. It was just a failed situation. Jonnu Smith goes to Atlanta. He does all right in Atlanta, but then he goes to Miami. Injuries start to pile up. He starts to be one of the more valued tight ends, just one of the more valued players, at the very least, on the Dolphins, one of the more valued tight ends in fantasy, and really flew under the radar. And for anyone that had him in fantasy can attest to this, he probably saved a lot of teams in their seasons. So I think that, and now you look at him in Pittsburgh, yeah, he's probably going to have to fight for share of the ball with DK Metcalf, but there's a lot of, this could set up for another solid year from Jonnu Smith. So I say don't be afraid to take him. Probably, honestly, don't be afraid to take him as your tight end one.
This is a guy who I really like, Jonnu Smith, as a sleeper. The reason I like him is because not just he's been good everywhere he's been except for New England. Like, he's been good everywhere. It's not just that. It's that he went to the Steelers, who have a track record with tight ends, right? Not just Pat Freiermuth, but also Eric Ebron before him. Ebron is a guy who kind of jumped around. He had all these injury issues. He goes to the Steelers, and he was actually a very productive tight end. Was he the best tight end? No, but he got some, you know, he got some touchdowns. He got some receptions. He got some yards. He was very productive. And who's to say that Jonnu Smith can't do that? Let's say we have a decent year from Aaron Rodgers in his final season. He could very much lean on a guy like Jonnu Smith in the dink and dunk game to get him the ball while DK Metcalf is going deep.
Exactly. And you bring up past Steelers tight ends. Let's throw in Heath Miller as well. That guy was a freaking dog. Or did I say the guy's name wrong?
I think so. Well, I was
that's embarrassing.
Freiermuth, but I mean,
that's embarrassing. Yeah, Heath Miller. I got it right. Heath Miller. But that was earlier Steelers days.
Yeah.
Point still stands. Like, in the last 20 years, the Steelers have done pretty well in terms of the tight end department.
Yeah. I mean, you've covered, as far as all the other tight ends, I think you did a good job of covering the two tight ends in Chicago. Both have intrigue. Tyler Warren is another one. The only reason we're hesitant on the rookies here.
Yeah.
The big reason is because they're rookies. With tight ends, you very rarely see an electric rookie season. What we got from Brock Bowers is a bit of an anomaly, and what we got from Kyle Pitts his rookie year was an anomaly. And you can tell that because look at how Kyle Pitts has been ever since then. And now we got our mention of Kyle Pitts for CJ, who created our thumbnail without looking to us and saying, "Well, are you guys going to mention him?" It kind of he imposed it on us.
So yeah, but he goes on vacation, is like, let's fuck everyone up.
Yeah.
I guess
fuck
the one
you,
thing,
CJ, fuck you, yeah. Kyle Pitts. That's the most swearing you're gonna get on this show.
The one thing I'll say about Kyle Pitts is that if you think about drafting him, honestly, if you just think about drafting him at all, the only reason that you draft him is because you're accidentally auto picked.
Yes.
That's the only reason.
or if you've had six beers and he's just staring at you in the sixth round of the draft.
Six beers is talking to you.
You're in the twelfth round. It talks to you like the Green Goblin. You see Kyle Pitts. It's like, oh my god.
If you're not any of what we just listed, then you're just a fucking idiot, to be honest. If you choose him as like your tight end two, tight end three, if you're really going that far into tight end depth, sure.
And at that point, just don't even waste the roster spot. Just go get yourself another running back or a wide receiver.
Yeah, like your or use Kyle Pitts as your at drop guy. Like that's what you use that roster spot for, I guess.
Listen, the thing with tight ends is a lot of people take backups. I will admit to you, I never take backups.
No.
When it comes to tight ends, I'd rather get the value in more wide receivers and running backs. And if you really need the other tight end, trade some of it to go and get that extra tight end.
Yeah.
Because tight ends are so meaningless in when it comes to fantasy. It's just not worth it. Just go find somebody who get a touchdown or something.
But. Yeah. That's all the tight ends I really had in mind. I think one other one I would throw out there is maybe Zach Ertz, and you saw in the playoff game last year, he's got a lot left in the tank. He was the biggest performer in that playoff game against the Eagles where they got absolutely shellacked. And when you take like Terry McLaurin's probably going to play this year, right? But either way, regardless if Terry plays or not, he's still going to be a high value target for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. The only thing that I question there is his age.
Yeah, obviously.
Maybe he falls off the cliff. Tight end is a very punishing position. Let's say he does fall off the cliff. And he physically, it's not there. None of his talent from before even matters anymore. So that's all going to matter. That's what it's like when it comes to the NFL. You're always flying high until you're not.
Yeah.
It's just boom. As Max Kellerman used to put it, you fall off a cliff, become a bum in short order. Most of the time, Max Kellerman is right in making that point, but just the guy he was talking about just didn't.
Ended up playing for another 8 fucking years.
Yes, and won multiple Super Bowls, won another league MVP. Oh boy, that was multiple 40-plus touchdown seasons. Unbelievable stuff
there. Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Yeah. Unless you add one other thing, but I think I'm good. Cool. All right. We're going to move on. When we get back, we're going to get into our underrated fantasy quarterbacks heading into the 2025 season. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. I'm Chris Kostich. He's Adam Wright. We're going to get into our underrated fantasy quarterbacks heading into this season. Some good ones. I like the quarterback position. And this is probably, you know, when you talk about fantasy football quarterbacks, I even made this point to Adam in the fact of, you know, we originally were going to do a top 5 fantasy quarterbacks, but that could have easily correlated with our top 5 quarterbacks in general. And then I also made the point of, you know, Tom Brady was debatably the best quarterback for however many years, but he wasn't necessarily the best fantasy quarterback. There were some years I wouldn't even consider him a top 5 fantasy quarterback. But either way, Adam, give me actually, we'll just start with Drake May. We'll just start with Drake May.
I'm standing unison with Drake May.
Yeah, we'll just start with Drake May. Look, we're talking about a situation like if we're talking like Caleb Williams having a pretty solid situation in year 2, I think Drake May's right up there with him, and maybe even better. Stephon Diggs coming off an ACL tear, looking better than ever. Just a revamped offense, revamped defense. Mike Vrabel at the helm. You got Josh McDaniels back as your OC. Great OC, terrible head coach. I think that's very, very, very fair to say. I mean, this is the same guy that turned Mac Jones into a Pro Bowl, even though Pro Bowl is, even though Pro Bowl doesn't really mean anything anymore. It's still a, he still made Mac Jones look insanely good. So I expect the same thing from Drake May, essentially, especially from what we saw last year. You don't even look at the box score, because the box score doesn't show the promise that Drake May has. And a lot, like the box, like if you look at his stats, that's because of how terrible of an offense the Pats had last year.
Yeah. I mean, the way I look at it, they literally had none of anything when it comes to Drake May. I didn't want him to start his rookie year. I was very upfront of it on it when I was when I was an actual host on this show, constantly claiming it is a very bad idea to start Drake May in this offense. You're not going to gain anything from it. I think he would learn much more while just getting practice reps rather than getting his head ripped off by defenses. Praise God that he got through that season safe and uninjured. I was scared to death that entire season. That being said, this offseason, they completely 180'd their roster. They remade the offensive line. Even if it's 25% better, that's still, it keeps Drake May on his feet for as long as he needs to be there. Coaching is much better. Mike Vrabel, Josh McDaniels, those two are going to completely 180 this offense as far as their scheme. I'm very excited and encouraged from this past week's news on the physically unable to perform list. Stephon Diggs was not on it, which means that all of the hype about Stephon Diggs' speedy recovery, it was all real. There's a lot of times where you see a guy, you know, some training camp reps, some practice reps when he's like down south just training with his trainer. You'll see it all the time where they're you get all this hype. Oh my God, he still has it. Look at look at Dez Bryant in these practice reps. He could really do, and they end up doing nothing. It becomes a nothing burger. This seems like it's not. And if they have Stephon Diggs in a functional offensive line, good coaching, if Drake May is anywhere, even if he stays the same, then he's a 20-plus touchdown quarterback. A lot of people are saying, they're making the case that if Drake May, if he stays the same, that it's bad. If he stays the same, then his stats aren't going to be the same. Because with his production last year, if he has the offensive line and the weapons, then that means that season is not going to be 15 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. It's probably going to be more like 20 to 25 touchdowns to 10 interceptions, and maybe even less. If he gets the same stats, that means he regressed. Because if you have a better offensive line, better weapons, better coaching, that means you regressed. So he has a better situation around him.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about Drake May this year. I think he's going to have... I can see why people overlook him because of the stats, because of, you know, we don't know much, but I think he's a guy who flies under the radar year two.
Had at least 17 fantasy points in 6 of his last 12 starts last year. And like we said, retooled offensive line, a lot more talent to work with now, just more to work with. That's all it is. That's literally all you have to look at. We're also talking J.J. McCarthy as potentially an underrated quarterback as well. We've had a lot of differing conversations about J.J. McCarthy this offseason, right? Because we really don't know what to expect of him because he missed an entire year with an ACL injury. But the fact of the matter is, like, you have to look at who J.J. McCarthy is throwing to and who he has around him. That's really it. TJ Hockenson, Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, Aaron Jones in the backfield again. or they brought Aaron Jones for another year again.
Good offensive line.
Good offensive line. Great offensive minded heck. Look what he did with Sam Darnold last year. Now, we're still trying to figure out if that was just a one-off from Sam Darnold or not, but still, the fact of the matter is, Kevin O'Connell is a quarterback whisperer. He knows what he's doing. He's like, there's a reason why he was coach of the year last year. Like, the keys are there for him. He's just got to be able to perform. Now, I think this goes to, like, kind of in the Zach Ertz term, right? High risk, high reward. I think that's what we're looking at in terms of JJ McCarthy. If you do choose him to be your fantasy quarterback. Now, if you want to play it safe and choose him as your QB2, good, fine. That's fine. Because you will quickly see on the bench in the first couple weeks, if you do have him sit on your bench behind whoever you do choose as your QB1, we're going to quickly see in the first couple weeks what he has in store.
You've said everything that's needed to be said about JJ McCarthy. I mean, as far as adding on to that, I think there's value to be had when you're actually sitting, even if you're injured, if just getting face time with coaches, getting to see some game film, you have some time to work on your mechanics during the time that you get healthy. There's a lot of value there that people don't understand. Everyone thinks that you have to be developed just by getting game reps. I completely disagree with that. Just look at Jordan Love, who 5 minutes ago started his first NFL game after being drafted all the way back in 2020. And he looked terrible when he first entered the league. Now, look at how he is. It's the same deal here, right? I mean,
Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly. Patrick Mahomes. A lot of people trying to make the argument Patrick Mahomes probably would have made the playoffs if he started his rookie year. And maybe that would have been true. But how good would he have been? Would he have been a 50-touchdown quarterback? The idea of, like, they were holding out Patrick Mahomes because they had Alex Smith. I'm sorry, but that's such a bad argument. If Patrick Mahomes is anything like what you believe he will be, you're not letting Alex Smith get in the way. And I think the issue is you want to look at player development. Maybe Patrick Mahomes is the guy. In the same way that you look at JJ McCarthy, maybe he is the guy. But you want to be patient with that guy. I care more about the 15 years of dominance than that 1 year where you're trying to rush being a contender. It spells impatience. And speaking of impatience, if you don't mind, I'd love to segue into our next guy.
I wanted to throw one more quick thing about JJ McCarthy. Just going off of NFL.com writer Adam Rank. He currently has JJ McCarthy. He has JJ McCarthy on his roster for sure this season, and that his floor is Brock Purdy, who averaged 17.79 fantasy points per game, which was 13th in all fantasy football last season. The ceiling, Bo Nix, 18.66 fantasy points per game, which was 7th last year.
Brock Purdy, ceiling of Bo Nix.
Yeah, it's really the difference of, like, it's really the difference of 1 point.
Bo Nix is. I mean, I like Bo Nix. I think he's good, but we don't know how good he is. We don't know how good Brock Purdy is, technically.
It's the point of the fantasy season that they both had last year. Bo Nix had a pretty solid fantasy year at, like, averaging 18 fantasy points in your rookie season. That's pretty solid.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Looking at guys who have good potential that you want to be patient on, Caleb Williams is a guy who everyone has looked at and has written off because he had, by the eye test, a rough rookie year. Notice how I said by the eye test. It's weird because the stats actually say that he was a pretty good rookie, but they look at the eye test when it's convenient to them, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Right. I will say by the eye test, it was extremely inconsistent. But notice how I said inconsistent, because there is still something there with him. And he had a really bad coaching system. Coaching was just not there. The weapons were there, but the offensive line was extremely spotty. What did they do this offseason? They improved the interior of their offensive line, and they improved their coaching staff. Two things that were glaring needs for them, and they nailed them extremely early in the offseason, before free agency even started, if you remember. They got all of their interior offensive linemen. That's what they needed. They got Ben Johnson, obviously, before free agency started, because that's when coaching hires happen. They got all of that early. One thing I love about Ryan Poles, he is probably the most productive GM in all of football. He is as proactive as it gets. And it's shown in the past few off seasons. Has it translated into a postseason berth? Not yet. But be patient with Caleb Williams. I think they have something with him.
Yeah. It's very easy to not be totally confident in this guy, right? Like, it's very easy, but I think you put it best. Just be patient. Like, it's probably one of those things, right? Like, that I just said about J.J. McCarthy. Maybe you choose Caleb Williams as your number two guy and wait a couple weeks, see how it works out. See what happens.
Yeah.
Did you have anyone else you want to throw out there?
Give me one more real quick.
Okay.
I'll give you Michael Penix.
Mm.
The reason he is slept on is mainly because he hasn't gotten many game reps. But like we said, you don't need many game reps in order to develop. You can develop through practice. And he showed some good promise in the few reps that he got at the end of the season. If he played the entire season, I guarantee you, I believe that he wouldn't be as good. If you look at Michael Penix now that he's gotten a lot of training reps, he's gotten a lot of face time with coaches, plenty of NFL coaching over the last year and a half. You go into now, this season, with him being a full-time starter, good roster around him, good offensive line. Coaching remains to be seen, but I'm encouraged. Michael Penix is a good guy to look at.
I like it. I mean, especially like just looking at, you know, some quick articles, just reading headlines, not really diving into anything real deep here. It's Michael Penix is talking very highly about, you know, having to sit behind Kirk Cousins and learning a lot just through mental reps. It's kind of, we just said the same thing about J.J. McCarthy. Mental reps can be probably the best thing for a young quarterback. Now, Michael Penix isn't necessarily the youngest quarterback in the league, right? Like, he's, what, 28? Or whatever, one of the older, or not 28, but you know what I mean.
25.
Either way, mental reps at any stage are good reps. And that's all you can take away from that.
Yeah. That's who I have. I think those are the guys. And you'll notice that it's almost the entire 2024 NFL draft class, which is...
Yeah.
Which is telling, because I believe that it's going to be one of the best draft classes of all time.
Yeah. I guess one more I'll throw out there, but with caution, is Trevor Lawrence. But that's, you're really betting on him to really actually take over. You're really betting on Liam Cohen to be the saving grace that Trevor Lawrence needs.
They haven't fired Press Taylor yet.
Yeah. No, they have. That was the whole reason why Liam Cohen got hired in the first place.
No, you're thinking of Doug Peterson.
No, they fired Press Taylor.
Liam Cohen is... Hang on.
The whole reason why Liam Cohen even accepted the job was because they fired Press Taylor.
I swear they did not
fire Press Taylor. No, they did. Trust me.
No, we're talking about Press Taylor. If Press Taylor's gone and Liam Cohen's just running the whole show, becoming his own offensive coordinator, that is quite the gamble, too.
Oh.
On himself, because...
Oh, Press... Wait, Press Taylor, the OC? Oh, yes. For some reason... I was thinking the GM for some reason.
Yes, yeah. They did fire their GM, but Press Taylor is still there.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, I misunderstood. That was a bad misread there. That's for sure.
Listen, they have good weapons right now. I like Travis Hunter. I think he's going to be pretty good. They have Brian Thomas. So they have their guys. It's just a question of what is Trevor Lawrence? I don't think we even know yet. We're going into year, four with him?
Five.
Who?
21, 22,
23, 24, 25. Yeah.
Year 4 or 5?
5. We don't know what he is right now. And that is extremely troublesome, which is why a lot of people are sleeping on him. So as far as fantasy goes, yeah, sure. But you know who else people really sleep on is Dak Prescott. But Dak Prescott, year in, year out, puts on pretty good fantasy seasons. And he deserves to be slept on because in real life, when it comes to winning championships, it's just not there. Postseason production's not there. He becomes a pumpkin. But we're talking about regular season. So if we're talking about Trevor Lawrence, just the potential to have that one season where he's putting up good fantasy stats, yeah, sure, it's there. But I think you get a bad rap. You get a bad reputation on what you're looking for because Trevor Lawrence has not played up to snuff.
Yeah.
He was lauded as the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, and he is – not even close to lived up to that.
Yeah. It's hard to justify like drafting a guy that's cracked 25 touchdowns once in his first four seasons and having 14 or more interceptions in half of those seasons as well. And of course, last year missing 7 games with the injury. Trust us, it's very hard to justify it, but it's why we throw it out there, because you really never know.
And he's played 4 seasons, by the way.
Yeah.
He's played 4. He's going into 5.
Yeah, that's what I meant. He's going into his 5th season.
Okay, so we were on the same page. It's just
Our
phrasing.
Yes. I'd say that's pretty good underrated QB list. I wanted to go, since we shit on one tight end, I'll... not necessarily shit on a quarterback, but I'll say if you're going to look at one quarterback to stray away from that is a top 15 guy in the league, it's Justin Herbert, because he's still like, imagine the year he had last year, copy and paste. That's all I have to say to you. Like, you're not like he's going to do well in not throwing picks, but you're really not going to get a lot of yards or touchdowns out of him because it's still just Ladd McConkey. It's still just Ladd and everyone else.
Yeah, but it's still Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
It's mainly the way they use him. They've become very dink and dunk since they brought in Jim Harbaugh.
Well, because they don't have anyone to throw to besides Ladd. There's no trust to throw the ball down the field, really. No trust in Justin Herbert, of course, because he's got a great arm. But it's like I said, but behind Ladd, there's almost nobody.
You want one guy who's a deep sleeper, who I was actually about to say stay away from him, but the more I think about it, you know Smith.
Ooh.
He has a solid floor. He's already worked with Pete Carroll. The offensive line is better in Vegas than it was in Seattle. You have Brock Bowers and Mr. Wide Receiver 2 over there who left the Patriots. he's their one, but you know what I'm talking about. Jacoby Myers. Brock Bowers is the number one. Myers is the two. Decent coaching, at least familiar coaching, I'll say.
Going to have a better run game.
Oh, much better run game with Ashton Genty.
Like, Geno Smith was working with, like, no run game last year.
When was the last time Pete Carroll had an elite running back like that?
Marshawn.
So, deep sleeper there. He probably won't even get drafted in your league. He's a guy who will probably be one of those. Probably will be a quarterback streamer type of guy where you don't have a real QB1, so you just keep on streaming guys. Which is what you can do. You can get away with, by the way. I've done that a few times. And made the playoffs, by the way. It's quarterback and tight end. These are a couple of the most meaningless positions in all of fantasy. Yeah. For their own reasons. Tight end, because it just doesn't produce anywhere. Quarterback, because production grows on trees.
Yeah.
What you can get from, like, from the Joe Burrows and Lamar Jacksons of the world, you could get from streaming various quarterbacks throughout the season. You can get that, at least close to it. So,
yeah, it's pretty solid list that we've compiled there. That was good. Yeah. Before we end the show, there's one quarterback here that Adam Rank, NFL.com writer, threw in. This is where we shit on the writer himself now. Not the quarterback.
We're going down a rabbit hole, man.
I know, but I saw this and I just can't look at this and not say something about it. I know we want to go to bed, but he has Justin Fields ranked ninth.
All right. I can't take that seriously.
Above Kyler Murray, Caleb Williams, Justin Herbert, Brock Purdy, Drake May, Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, Jared Goff, CJ Stroud, JJ McCarthy, Matt Stafford, Bryce Young, Tua, Geno, Darnold. I'm not even going to say the rest, because at that point we're just getting into like the bottom of the barrel and they actually deserve to be that ranked that low, but just terrible. And the description he put in, I'm buying into Justin Fields reaching his full potential with the Jets this year. The veteran QB has the pieces around him to succeed, and Fields' play is likely to make OC Tanner Engstrand a highly sought after coaching candidate.
He can't throw the ball. He cannot read a defense. We've seen the clips from his Bears days of him literally not being able to see multiple open receivers down the field and running into the pile for the sack. You saw the clip. You saw that play. He can't do it. And then he went to the Steelers. They were winning games and they still benched him.
He couldn't
know that he can't do it.
He couldn't beat out Russell Wilson for the starting job.
Well, he got the starting job. That's what I'm saying. He got the starting job
because he's hurt.
And they went 4-2 and they still benched him because they knew they were winning in spite of him.
Yeah.
They were winning because he runs a little bit. He can run for some touchdowns, but he can't throw. His throwing ability is not there. And he just doesn't process the game in a way that he can actually read a defense and be able to make the right plays and make the right decisions. It just doesn't happen with him. Good kid. Look. Maybe he could be a solid quarterback somewhere in the right system where you're loaded to the gills with weapons. But I'm not sold on him.
I'm never going to be sold on. If you want him for the value of that, he's going to get you rushing touchdowns, and rushing touchdowns tend to do actually are worth more than passing touchdowns. Sure. Go for it. Be my guest. Enlighten yourself. But don't even bother. Now we're going too far with it at this point, but
we're at 45 minutes. Let's just end.
Hey man, you're the one that decided to join in the show.
I did, but I'm like, I can't. This is a golden opportunity. I gotta make my appearance.
You are the fancy guy amongst the four of us, so it's hard not to have you in studio for this. But that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for tuning in. Apologies again for the delay on this episode being posted. Like I said, scheduling issues. So this is what we had to do. New episode coming out next Tuesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast. Keep up with the pod and Lee's coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, he's Adam Wright. I'm Chris Kostich. Thank you for tuning in for another Tuesday episode. And soon enough, we'll be back to two episodes a week. We'll see you next Tuesday. Over and out.